Around Comics, Episode 81.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello, hello.
And Mr. Tom Caters.
A root to two.
It's St. Patrick's Day. Hey!
All right.
I'm drunk.
Why are you wearing a leprechaun's costume?
Just for this podcast, I showed up drunk.
just for this.
Because I'm half Irish. Everyone is.
He's half Irish and Wisconsin half played and today.
German, half Irish. I'm Germish. Or
you are German.
Kraut.
Kraut.
From Mick Kraut from Godfather.
I like Germish better.
Germish.
Because it has the double meaning, which I like.
Is that a Jim Germish movie?
I love Jim Jarmusch.
It's another Monday episode, and that means that we have our Monday Around Comics regular.
You
know him as the host of Word Balloon. We know him as our good friend, Mr. John Suntrax.
How do you do? Hello.
There's going to be a lot of funny voices in this episode.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? I'm Fahey Flynn. Fahey Flynn, a fine Irish former newscaster in Chicago.
I was watching The Quiet Man the other night, getting prepared for...
That's the
St. Patty's Day in Chicago.
That's the tradition. John Ford, man. Nothing like it. I was watching The Fugitive, which has that wonderful Chicago St. Patrick's Day scene.
Yes, it does. The parade. Yes. Yeah, sure.
And it's absolutely. Like, hey, they dyed the lake green for St. Patrick's Day. You'd think they could dye it blue the other 364 days a year.
They don't have to put much green dye in the Chicago River.
It's true.
All right, folks.
Irish eyes are smiling.
Blow me, I'm Irish.
Blow me, I'm Irish.
That's a traditional Irish thing.
Oh, man. So should we should we make this like the show that we just talk about?
St. Patty's Day will be over long before this show.
Banshee's dead.
Who are the other Irish heroes before we get crazy?
Banshee's daughter. Siren.
Banshee's daughter.
Drunky McDrunk.
Is there a global guardian that's from Ireland? DC man?
The guy with Jack-O-Lantern.
Is he from
Ireland? Yes, he is.
All right, sweet.
He's always so bitter.
That's a DC Jack-O-Lantern,
not the Marvel Jack-O-Lantern.
I always felt that Detective Chimp seemed a bit Irish. If you could have an Irish monkey, yeah. I don't know.
Of course, Matt Murdock, I'm sure, is having a fine St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Aren't you, Matt? I'm over here.
Black Tom Cassidy.
He's a villain.
He's a villain. He's
okay. Juggernaut by association.
He married Irish.
Great Punisher arc, Kitchen Irish or whatever?
Kitchen Irish.
Was that
the
first?
Was that the first or second? Yeah, that's really. Blind lawyer. All right. I know that. You were born with that fear, Matthew. Of course you were.
I'll drink my fear away.
Here's Maggie, your mother. She's been serving me well.
I was saying this to somebody I work with the other day. It's like the Irish is the new Italian. It's like all the films that are coming out, Departed, you have the Black Donnellys.
I love the Black Donnellys,
that's
by the way.
That's a good
show.
I really do like it.
There's something about it that bugs me, but I'm not quite sure
Italian
what it is.
Irish is the new Italian.
There's always been the Irish mob and stuff. What are you talking about? I mean, that's the thing.
Well, there's another one, too.
Maybe Hollywood rediscovered.
Well, that's what I mean.
Am I a clown to you?
Am I a clown to you?
Yeah, do I abuse you, Seamus? Oh, that's great.
Seamus.
Good lads instead of good fellas. Good lads.
Well, I'm sure they're going to be thrilled
Irish
about this.
Fine lads.
Cringing.
They're fine lads.
Yeah, that's right. Instead of good fellas, it's fine lads. Jim, I'm sorry. I think we need to write this.
We need to write this down.
Who's the director that did In America? And
Seamus.
It's another Jim, and it's not Jarmusch, obviously, but it's another Jim.
I don't know.
We'll get Frank McCourt to write a forward to it. It'll be perfect. Frank, you taught us English so well, and now you entertain us with your little books. Aren't you cute?
Johnny boy.
Oh, you think you're something, aren't you? Get the hell out of my bar. Who the hell cares?
Although I will say with the yes. Black Donnellys, while it's set in New York, I mean, if you've ever...
I thought it was Boston.
Or even like Bridgeport. I mean, if you've spent any time south side of Chicago with the neighborhood guys down there... They've nailed it pretty well. Those guys, you know.
Yeah, no, it's a rough. Oh man, it's
sort of crowd.
You what? Know where you can go if you want to find a book about Irish history.
Tell me.
You could go to Borders.
Thank you, Tom, because this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
Your heart pounds, your palms sweat, the tension is nearly unbearable, and then you spot it—that graphic novel you've been searching for everywhere, right here in your local Borders. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find exactly what you're looking for and discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. Click on the Borders banner at aroundcomics.com for a 20% off coupon. Check Borders first. Find a store near you at www.borderstores.com or use the Borders store locator at aroundcomics.com.
Follow the end of the rainbow. To Borders.
Hey, Lucky Charms.
Phineas Rainbow.
Well, thank you to the fine folks at Borders.
Right.
Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. While you're here, remember to ask about Dark Tower's Pull List membership. It's one of the best you will find anywhere. Dark Tower has a great selection of mainstream comics, independent comics, and trades, as well as statues and action figures. Come to Dark Tower Comics for all of your comics and collectible needs and Irish accents.
Do you need
There's
any,
more than
do you have any Irish comic books?
I have an action figure. I have 17 points of articulation. I'm very proud of each of them.
17 points of mic articulation.
The ninth one is my favorite. It's where a certain digit puffs up to let you know how I feel.
Shillelagh.
Hey, right here with your
shillelagh point.
Why do I feed them?
I used to do that on the score. I used to do Father Pat, who was like, you know, like one of the priests at Notre Dame that never got out that much.
We don't like losing. That's all I know, boys. Now go out there and give them hell.
And I used to just say that all the time.
Jesus is a good Irishman.
All those like great 1930s movies and stuff, like
Does
Charlie Chan.
Oh, you're right, Charlie Chan. All right, let's take the boy downtown.
You know, or those Bugs Bunny
Nothing
cartoons.
To see here.
Yeah. Okay, Rocky, we got you covered. Nobody move.
I love the pre-Miranda Irish cop of like the 1930s.
Just take the rubber hose from in the back room. Then you'll get your confession.
It's like, all right, Sal. All right, Mac.
The Miranda what?
Not worry. We beat him over 20 times, and he finally gave us the confession.
He had a good old-fashioned Irish confession.
Exactly. That's why I love Life on Mars. Good, I got Sal. I've heard Sal.
He's an old-fashioned Irish confession.
Yeah, I'm telling you, those are the best movies to watch, and that's I am now calling for that kind of comic. I want Clancy the Irish cop that doesn't care about no Mirandas.
No rules or constitution.
We'll take him in the back room. Work him over, boys. Oh, Captain America. Oh, yeah, you don't want to do the registration? Fine, we got a little room for you back here. Get Banshee on the case.
We're going to.
We beat the hell out of him. You won't hear Steve Rogers crying no more.
Get out the mop handle.
That's right.
Who the hell cares? Get Union Jack. Oh, no, we don't like Union Jack, do we?
That's true. I'm guessing they don't like Union Jack. I think he has trouble when he goes over, especially
That's the first news
Banshee.
Story. The Irish hate Union Jack.
That's just it. We don't like him.
All right. My apologies to any Irish to take offense.
I was going
to
say, we used to be big in Ireland. Not so much anymore.
It's all right.
But the Welsh love us even more. So, hi, Blue Meanie.
JohnAwardBalloon.com if you got a problem. Right here for
you. All right,
can you
folks.
Transcribe that?
I couldn't hear the last part of that. Can you say it again?
Yikes.
All right.
Sorry.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, this is one of our news and reviews episodes. That means it is time for Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
All right, for all the aspiring comic book artists out there that are also Warhammer and Warhammer 40,000 fans, you can submit 40K. Some art to Boom Studios. They've got the Warhammer license, and they're looking for artists. So you can check that out at boom.artist.search@gmail.com is where the submission goes to. So
do you think they could have came up with a little easier email address to type in?
Boom.artist.search. Yeah, but check out Boom Studios, and that'll get you some information on the artist search if you are interested, or you can always go to aroundcomics.com.
Familiarity with Warhammer and Warhammer 40K universes is particularly ideal.
You know,
I like that.
Abnett and Lanning are the writing team that has worked so much on Wildstorm. They did the Mr. Majestic series and other things. Yeah, and actually, I want to say that Dan Abnett has a lot of experience writing Warhammer novels, and then they got him. Got smart and made him for the comic.
More of a Warhammer 10K guy.
10K.
No, that is huge. It really is huge, and I had never heard of him until meeting the Boom guys in San Diego. But since I went around, and they are like Forgotten Realms and stuff, and in the gamer world, these guys
are Warhammer's
huge.
It's been around for a long time too.
Yeah, I didn't realize, and it sounds like a cool story. So
I read the first one that just came out.
Did you like
the
it?
Boom?
Yeah, Warhammer? The first Warhammer. I can't think of the title, the full title of it, but it was
Warhammer,
it was pretty cool.
20K prequel.
No, it wasn't 20K.
Yeah, it's not.
I can't remember what it was, but it was pretty good.
All right, Orson Scott Card is back at it with the Dable Brothers and Marvel.
He won't stop.
He will not stop. He already has a couple series coming out through Dable Brothers, but now you're going to see some Ender's Game and Speaker for the Dead. So Dable Brothers kind of keeps hitting that that novel market. And you know, that was one of the things whenever we were in New York, talked to a lot of those guys, like Ryan Stegman, who's doing Magician's Apprentice. And he said that the response on the Dable Brothers stuff has been awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I know they announced, too, another new Anita Blake Vampire Hunter series over the weekend
at
Wizard LA.
That's no surprise.
Well, one of the Miguel's.
Yes, he's doing Red Prophet.
Yeah, and he was talking about how...
Which is Orson Scott Card.
That is Orson Scott Card.
It's hot.
It's
but
hot
he's
stuff.
Never talked to Orson Scott Card, which I thought was funny.
The Dable Brother books are very well written. Yeah. They have beautiful art. I think, if you're a fan of the books that they came from, I think it's a natural leap. And it'll be interesting to see how many new fans of the novels they get from...
Well, it's interesting. We talked with... we're talking with Josh Blaylock later in the week. You'll hear that the publisher of Devil's Due, and you know a lot of their stuff is sort of, you know, they do the Forgotten Realm stuff and and that same vein, and you know he was saying the same thing, that you know the response on that stuff is unbelievable, how well it sells that you never hear about.
Well, I don't think that the sales in local comic shops are where that stuff is. It's more in bookstores.
Yeah,
and it's not a Dable Brothers, but it is a Marvel book. I was at my local Borders this week checking things out. And I was over by the magazine racks, which is where they have the comic spinner rack. And there was a guy with an associate there, and they're looking for the Dark Tower comic book. And, you know,
there's a big thing in the Tribune, which I noticed on the train, because this guy next to me immediately flipped past it. But I saw an article like, Stephen King brings Dark Tower to new crowd. You know, and
about the comic book.
And I was trying to read it, but then I made weird eye contact.
Well, I think a lot of those, you know, a lot of those things.
I was reading his newspaper.
I mean, we all know, you know, we all love comics. We all know how great the stories in comics are. You know, but there's just, I think, still that stigma about comics to a lot of people. And if you can do anything to get them interested, you know, people that read, you know, these different types of books, different genre books, all of a sudden they have a reason to pick up a comic. Hopefully it leads to them picking up more than just that, you know.
The weird thing in my own personal experience lately is I used to have that sort of idea that I think there is a stigma against comics, but I also think...
It's changing.
If you give someone something good in quality and they read it, they won't have a pretense against it. Like I gave my girlfriend... I just bought this Oni trade, 12 Reasons Why I Love Her, which is like a love story book that I heard off of Indie Spinner Rack. And I read it, and I loved it, and I gave it to my girlfriend. And she also enjoyed it. And she has sort of pretensions against comics, like her own ideas of what it was, but the more I give her stuff like
right,
blankets
the more
and
that opens
she's
up.
Like, oh, okay. And I have friends who I give them something like Watchmen, you know, like Matt, who we stayed
sure.
with. He has Watchmen. He doesn't own anything else, and he enjoyed Watchmen in and of itself.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's like we know that there are, you know, people look at comics in a certain way and think that they're a certain thing, and we the four of us sitting here know that that's not the case. It's just a matter of how do you get people to understand that?
Just getting it in their hands.
Well, I think a big part of it is having a comic in a non-traditional format. We're going to see Mouse Guard as a hardcover in like the children's section of bookstores. The book that we both bought in New York, GB Trans Content.
Yeah.
We keep getting emails about that, and people post on the forum and say, oh, that sounds like a neat concept. One guy posted on the forum today.
Yeah, it's because his girlfriend or somebody he knew
lost three
cell phones and wanted to know what the book was we were talking about because it had to do with the cell phone.
A hilarious, you know, runaway cell phone in the middle. But I think it's breaking those traditional comic book boundaries.
The key is the publishers are going to have to convince the bookstores to put Queen and Country in the espionage section with Robert Ludlum spy books and Gotham Central with Ed McBain's police procedure novels. And I think that's the thing that it is accepted as literature. Illustrated literature.
I think it is
coming there, but we still
get it. I only see one book in bookstores that falls into that category right now. Where can you find Mouse in a bookstore?
Yeah, you can find it
in
the Holocaust. Literature.
Yeah,
it's in Jewish history.
I think it's this very, we have this imaginary, very thick line, which I think is actually thinner, and it's just getting people to.
Sure.
Pick it up and look at it, and then sort of, you know, I have friends who, you know, have read one thing, and that all their preconceptions get washed away, and then that's it, because they've read one thing that defeated their expectations.
So go give your friends graphic novels.
I think a good litmus test will be whenever the Dark Tower comes out as either a
full graphic novel.
As a full graphic novel, where's it going to be? And I'm sure it'll be in the graphic novel section, but it'll
be
interesting to see if it will make it.
Stephen King.
Oh, it will. I guarantee.
I think it will. I would hope it will.
If book stores are smart, it will. I mean, otherwise, they're not doing their job.
Well, we'll see how 300, if 300 gets the bump now that the movie is doing so well.
See, I think movies are a completely different thing, though, because I know people that,
watch the movie and not.
Yeah, and have no interest in
really, because
don't want to know that it's a graphic novel, don't care. I mean,
I think
you'll get people that will.
I think they will.
Yeah, certainly. And V for Vendetta did.
Absolutely. And Road to Perdition even did back, you know, a few years ago.
Nobody even knew. I mean, there was, you know, you had to search to find out.
Well,
I think certainly they will, but I think, you know, like, 300 broke records.
I think it's like
the film,
right?
You know, I don't know that the graphic novels all of a sudden going to break records. Maybe, but
we'll see. You know, go ahead.
I think there's like it's a percentage question because I think there are probably more people that are going to go see 300 that would never pick up reading a book about it. But people who know about the Dark Tower are probably more inclined towards reading a book anyway.
Anyway,
draw is going to.
Yeah,
be
that's.
Well,
I think
what's interesting about 300 and why it may be a little bit different is that. For most people out there that aren't comic book readers but may love that movie,
stabbing.
It is a coffee table book.
Yeah.
The size of it.
The scope.
And
I can tell you as a retailer that the price.
Here, come on. Come here, Mark.
The price of that trade scares people.
How much is the price?
It's $30, but okay. I've had more than one person come in, ask for 300. I point it out. They look at it and I go, and they put it back down, they leave.
Oh, there you go. So maybe we need an affordable.
And $20 is their limit.
Something about that.
Did you hear that, Dark Horse?
My 86-year-old aunt freaked me out before I came here tonight and said, you know, I really want to see that 300 movie. And I'm like, and she's 86, and I'm like, nudity, violence, graphic violence. She's like, we're Greek. It's our story. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, if you want to
cool.
go, I'm like, if you want to go, we're going to go Sunday afternoon. Yeah, but your girlfriend's not an 86-year-old lady.
John.
You know, as far as I know.
Wait, 86.
Harold and Maude. You got a little Harold and Maude thing going there, Katie?
She's an 86-year-old Greek woman.
you got a Greek
you're dating?
For you?
Oh, my.
I like
are you dating my aunt? Is that what you're telling me?
I like Orthodox.
Holy cow, man.
John. Tom is your father.
Wow. Yikes.
Your destiny lies with me, Skywalker. Obi-Wan knew this to be true.
Well,
Well, next story. Enough,
sorry to bring the good times to a screeching halt here, but unfortunately, we got the news last week that Arnold Drake has passed away.
Oh. I am a huge Doom Patrol fan. I love the concept of the Doom Patrol, and I think that people that maybe don't understand sort of the origin of the Doom Patrol even before the sort of Grant Morrison series. And when you look back on DC comic books, like in the 60s and 70s, the Doom Patrol is this really weird book that to me was sort of where I think a lot of DC wanted to go, but it was the first one to get there, where you had characters who were all ugly or disformed or hideous, mm-hmm. even more so than the X-Men. If you remember, the original X-Men were all actually normal, you know, oh, I'm too skinny. Well, too bad. We have a guy who's wrapped in fucking bandages. So, you know, like, deal with that. So, I mean, it was sort of a precursor to, I think, a lot of the tension that would later come up in comic books with the more modern X-Men, I think, owes maybe more to the old Doom Patrol than they do to the old X-Men. So I think it's a worthwhile thing to seek out. And
don't
I
forget
hope,
Deadman.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, Deadman, which is also sort of
unconventional
DC character.
Not known for his good looks.
And Arnold Drake, you know, was part of that generation that I think got screwed by the comic book companies when, as they were getting older, said, hey, we want more benefits, we want more money.
Yeah.
And DC kind of showed them the door.
Bye-bye.
It ended up ushering in the Denny O'Neils, the Neil Adams, and the new generation of guys. But Arnold Drake was a guy that really had a lot of interesting creative ideas based on, you know, concepts like the Doom Patrol, Deadman, Stanley and his monster, Beast Boy.
Oh, Stanley and his monster is a fantastic idea. It's been stolen a million times since then.
So I got to see him in San Diego, his last panel that he was the moderator of, and he interviewed Luis Rodriguez, who had drawn weird war tales and weird western tales. And Arnold wrote a lot of those as well, and it was really cool seeing the two of them together discussing those books.
He was such a funny guy he was somebody who understood where he sort of sat in popular culture and was willing to make fun of it, I think. You know, like you'd see he got up in front of people and would sing like silly songs and stuff, because he understood where he was in culture, and I think he was a really funny, interesting person. So.
He was one of the recipients of the Finger Award as well at San Diego, one of the, you know, to recognize forgotten creators.
Yeah, Bill Finger.
That's Bill Finger, not the middle finger.
Yes, well, and actually...
kind of is the middle finger.
Because you got the middle finger for a long time.
Absolutely. Or it was, you know, the last revenge of some of these creators that they were finally recognized.
Did you mention it on our site, or did I read it somewhere else, that he had said somewhere in an interview that, speaking about the Grant Morrison Doom Patrol, that he felt that Morrison was really the only other writer that got.
Yeah, I've read
what he
I
was
didn't
trying
that, but he.
Yeah. I had read that somewhere then that he had
said
that.
Well, you look
Morrison
at the history of the Doom Patrol, and you have your Arnold Drake stuff, and then it ends, and you have sporadically Doom Patrol stuff for years. That I think
was almost
of
a caricature
instead of being the forefront, was pretty much copying X-Men. And then you had Grant Morrison, who started writing it, who said, let's be weirder than the X-Men. And then Grant Morrison ended up writing X-Men. So, I mean, that's sort of that's sort of the history of it. So that's very understandable that why Arnold Drake would feel that way. Because Grant Morrison was the only writer for a very long time that understood that the Doom Patrol is supposed to be that team that is, they're all ugly, they're all weird,
they're all
literally cannot fit in with how anyone else's conception goes.
Yeah, they truly are. Freaks and
in a world of freaks.
Yeah, is there psychologically as well as physically and stuff, they're messed up.
Is there a Doom Patrol showcase?
There's a Doom Patrol archive.
Yeah, that's
right. I would not be surprised if someday they don't come out with a showcase.
I would think, they may.
This is the Grant Morrison trades sell fairly well. So.
I'm fairly certain, too, a lot of Drake's stuff is in the Tales of the Unexpected, what are the showcases right now?
He did a lot of House of Mystery
stuff.
House
of Mystery, that's what I mean.
Yeah, a lot of writing stuff. Okay. But I wouldn't be surprised if someday there isn't a Doom Patrol
showcase.
They could fit a lot of his run, because it wasn't that long that Doom Patrol was out, his original.
Well,
I'd be interested in seeing it for sure.
Rest in peace, Arnold Drake.
They claim that, I'm sorry, but I just want to acknowledge it because it's a new product of Drake's that is coming out. That Drake maybe wrote one of the first American graphic novels, and it's called It Rhymes with Lust, which kind of points to some of the humor that Caters was just talking about. And I guess Dark Horse is going to be releasing that later this month. So that's nice.
All right. Well, Sal, cue up Detroit Rock City.
I would say I'd rather have Calling Dr. Love. That was
they call me
Dr. Love.
They're calling.
That was
I'll put it all in there. We'll just do a melody.
Medley?
Medley.
One or the other.
IDW and Gene Simmons have announced that they are joining forces to bring us the Kiss Comics Group. So.
I'm sorry.
It's Sal's version of the Irish accent. He can't stop now.
I like the Kiss band.
I've always been a Peter Criss fan myself.
Peter Criss.
Why did you mention it?
Why did I have to bring it up?
See what you did?
It's actually, I would...
See what he did there? See what he did there, Tom?
Oh, God, now Sal.
I can't do an Irish accent any better than...
Where I went there with the reach around?
I would implore people to go to aroundcomics.com and look this story up, because it really gets in-depth and to Gene Simmons as a comic book fan. And
this is quite the press release.
I know. I had no idea what a huge comic book fan he is. So it's a really
well,
fun
for story. Those of you that may not know, you know, the Marvel comic, the Kiss comic that came out, they had printed that. They had put their own real blood in
real
the ink.
Real Kiss blood.
I mean, it goes back to the 70s of Kiss's connection with comics.
They are big comic book fans, absolutely. And, you know, even the great connection of Gene Simmons begging Mike Grell to let him be John Sable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, but does do today's kids appreciate Kiss's?
I don't know. I don't know.
Who buys comics? We do.
Yeah, I guess we do.
Yeah.
Well, are there enough of us? Is the Kiss enough of us in the Kiss?
Kiss
Nation
sold out. Kiss sold out a lot of concerts in the last
Simmons
5 years.
Will make right. us buy it.
I think Gene's got a. I mean,
and this house, these Gene Simmons House of Horror sounds really mm-hmm. cool. It's a quarterly horror.
Well, that's
anthology.
The interesting thing. These aren't like Kiss. You know, these aren't the Kiss. They are going to have the Kiss. You know, characters, the demon,
Kiss comics group.
But they're doing other comics too that are just, you know, under
Zipper,
the brand name.
A Stranger in a Strange Land, Tale Like No Other, created by Gene Simmons.
So
and,
Kiss Save Santa isn't going to be in there.
I don't think that one's going to. But I did see the artwork. If you go to our site, you can see the artwork in this press release. The preview art of the covers of these books, and it looked really good.
And I noticed that Tom Waltz, Children of the Graves writer, is working on a lot of these things, and I know Tom's a good writer, so that immediately makes me more interested in some of these concepts, because especially this indie Race of the Galaxies, I'm all for more sci-fi comics and stuff like that, so that's cool.
And we shouldn't forget to mention that, I mean, Kiss had the Psycho Circus stuff out of, you know, was it Image? With Angel, wasn't Angel, the guy who did Spawn for years after McFarlane.
Angel Medina?
Yeah, did Medina do the artwork on Kiss Psycho Circus,
sure,
I think,
sure
for a while?
I mean, that's the thing. I think Kiss can attract great creators to come and play in their playground and stuff. Sure. I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt.
So there you go.
We'll keep you up to date on those and hopefully get a hold of some copies and let you know what we think. I'm looking forward to them.
We'll check them out.
All right.
Send them to him.
Well, we are hoping maybe to, you know, Chris's mission.
I'm on a mission.
He wants to get Ace Frehley. Send the comics, will you?
He wants to talk us to talk to Gene Simmons.
Oh,
that's his
that
mission.
Would
Wouldn't that be awesome to talk to
Gene Simmons? Am I going to have a repeat Terry Gross moment with Gene Simmons? Did you ever hear the Fresh Air interview with Gene Simmons where he got
no.
very awkward?
No.
You should.
Was Terry Gross a huge Kiss fan?
No, but...
I was going to say, I'd be shocked.
Gene
I really
Simmons,
enjoyed...
Well, he did
music.
What he did, and Terry Gross did what she did, and the end was sort of
abrupt and nasty?
Well, it was predictable.
Gene Simmons, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Let's start with the makeup. Did you like being covered up on stage? Did it make you feel any less vulnerable or any less like Gene Simmons or your other names, Gene Klein or Chaim Weitz, which was your birth name?
Close but no guitars. It's Chaim Witz.
Oh, thanks. Okay.
You said the name came out through Gentile mouth, so it didn't quite have the flavor. It came out bland.
Well, it's not a Gentile mouth.
Ooh. Maybe it's a discussion we can have.
Yeah, okay.
But let's not start something we're not going to finish.
Right. I wanna rock and roll all night. How would you describe the pattern on your face?
A banker's pattern. When you look at it, it says, boy, that guy's got a lot of money. You know why I'm pulling your leg? Because I can't touch it from where I am. I will contend, and you try to disprove it, that the most important thing as we know it on this planet and this plane is, in fact, money. You want me to prove it?
Go ahead.
The first thing you need besides air, which so far is free, and by the way, if you went scuba diving, you're paying for air. The other thing besides that is food. It's what we need to survive. I don't know what other tool I would use besides money to buy it. Although, as a woman, of course, you have the ability to sell your body, then get the money, and then with that get food. But ultimately, money is part of it.
You are weird. Well, let's cut to the chase. How much money do you have?
Gee, a lot more than NPR.
I know. You're very defensive on money, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm actually just trying to show you that there's a big world out there, and reading books is wonderful. I've certainly read, well, perhaps as many as you have, but there's a delusional kind of notion that runs rampant in...
Wait, can we just get something straight?
Of course.
I'm not here to prove that I'm smart, and
not
I'm not
you.
Here to prove that you're not smart or that you don't read books
not,
or can't make a lot of money.
This is not about you. You're being very defensive. Why are you doing that?
It's contagious.
Yeah.
Now, let's get to the studded cod piece. Do you have a sense of humor about that? I mean, does that seem funny to you? Or you?
No, it holds in my manhood. Otherwise,
right.
It would be too much for you to take. You'd have to put the book down and confront life. The notion is that if you want to welcome me with open arms, I'm afraid you're also going to have to welcome me with open legs.
That's a really obnoxious thing to say.
No, it's not. Why should I say something behind your back that I can't tell you to your face?
Has it come to this? Is this the only way that you can talk to a woman, to do that shtick?
Let me ask you something. Why is it shtick when all women have ever wanted, ever since we've crawled out of caves, is why can't a man just tell me the truth and just speak to me plainly? So if I do that, you can't have it both ways.
So you really have no sense of humor about this, do you?
Oh, I'm laughing all the way. You know,
to the bank, right?
Well, of course. Don't I sound like a happy guy?
Not really, to be honest with you. Just one more question before we wrap up. I would like to think that the personality you've presented on our show today is a persona that you've affected as a member of KISS, something that you do on stage and before the microphone, but that you're not nearly as obnoxious in the privacy of your own home or when you're having dinner with friends.
Fair enough, and I'd like to think that the boring lady who's talking to me now is a lot sexier and more interesting than the one who's doing NPR, you know, studious and reserved, and I bet you're a lot of fun at a party.
Well, we'll leave it at that. Gene Simmons,
sure.
Thanks so much.
I look forward to our meeting.
Bye-bye.
All right, 2.5 years ago, Desperado Publishing announced their partnership with Image Comics, and just last week they announced that they were moving on and that they will no longer be partnered with Image. So good luck, Desperado, as they move on and publish their own books.
Once you come to your senses.
That's right. You've been out riding fences.
I've been thinking about this.
Desperado.
You know, I like Joe Pruitt. I got to spend a lot of time with him down at the FX show in Orlando, and they've got a really cool backlog of those great caliber books. And I gave you one of those, in fact, the silencers.
Damn
you, Tim.
Yes, well, Caliber did, and Desperado has
You know who owns that copy of the silencers now?
Yes, they do, actually. You told me.
Satan.
One Greg Rucka.
Greg Rucka owns
it. Simmons.
Simmons. That man was.
And he sold it to Satan for his soul.
No, but I Desperado has some really neat projects coming out, and I think also I'm sure the Brian Boland art book is a nice little seller for them.
I have it.
So, you know, Negative Burn
signed.
Is an interesting anthology series, and, you know, I wish
it's
them well.
Now you're naming all these books that I know that Desperado. Know of that Desperado has a hand in. That's
there's, awesome. You know, okay. Don McGregor has a new Sabre, or Sabre rather, in the works. Really?
Yes.
For Desperado?
Through Desperado, yes, sir.
Interesting.
And Ron Mars has
maybe
really
they maybe they're doing the right thing.
That's what I mean.
It sounds like maybe they're,
it's kind of in that same
kind
way
of
that
grown,
Devils Do yeah. was bubbling with all their stuff yeah. and everything.
Looks
so
like the kids have grown up.
We wish Joe Pruitt all the luck in the world.
The next story is Robert Kirkman comes to your house.
With his psycho face.
He's going to go to 500,000 houses in 2 days.
And shake your hand.
Give you a big old
wolf
man hug.
I'll be at a wedding that day. He's in Chicago, so I can't go see him.
Actually,
I'm going to go see him and shove him.
He is Robert Kirkman is going to go to five cities in 2 days for Free Comic Book Day.
Yeehaw!
He's out promoting The Astounding Wolfman, which is his new series coming out from Image, correct?
Sure.
The number one issue is a Free Comic Book Day offering, and he's going
to
be.
I'm
going
to go to the Graham Crackers thing because that's really close to my office.
Are you going to be working there on Saturday?
On Saturday, May
5th.
Mm-hmm. It's Free Comic Book Day.
I might be.
We're gonna be recording.
That
here
is Free Comic Book Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
May 5th.
Oh, shit, I'll be here.
I said we won't be.
We're recording here. Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
When the hell did we make that decision?
We record here every Free Comic Book Day.
We didn't last year.
Yes,
we were here Friday.
It was our first recording here in the store.
Fuck. No wonder.
Wah, wah, wah. Wah.
No whammies.
Stop. So anyway, he will be.
Mark, did you order lots of those?
All right.
From 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., so he starts on the 4th.
Nobody's going to come and see us. They're all going to be going to see Robert Kirkman.
Do you see this? He's like,
he's going to be in Denver later that day.
10 hours later after the New York appearance. He's going
I say we bum rush him.
Midnight appearance in New York at Jim Hanley's Universe, and then, hours later?
Yeah, 10 hours later, he comes to Chicago to Graham Crackers. Mm-hmm. He's nuts.
And then six hours later, he's in Denver.
And then, how the hell, I guess he's flying.
Teleporter machine that he created with the money he made.
A time slip.
Yeah.
He's a time slip.
Midnight on May 5th going into the 6th from 12 a.m. to 2 p.m. He's going. Wait, is that right? 12 a.m. No,
he's
that'll
really
be the next. That'll be
the
next
crap
day.
Out of
the next
book.
Day at noon, he'll be in Los Angeles at
book
Golden
will sell
Apple.
500,000 copies.
But it's
and
free.
He'll finish up from 6:30 to 9:30 in San Francisco at Comic Relief, the comic book store.
Very cool.
All right.
Well, you know, Robert, go for it, man. Because I think it's going to be awesome. I love his creator-owned stuff, and I love the fact that because this type of shit is fun. Like, this is the type of stuff that, like, someone like me likes. As cynical as I am, I always enjoy it when someone is going to be obviously
do something
deep-deprived
stupid
and, like, whoring themselves out.
Well, you know what
I
it's
love
about.
When someone really, truly whores themselves out
he's,
over,
he's
like,
just,
a course
he's
of the
just
day.
Trying to get his frequent flyer miles built up. Which
I
is
know.
Weird.
I think it's great.
I say
I
we run down there. I say it's we, if we're recording here anyway, we might as well run down there with a little mini recorder and
maybe
and
we'll
see
start
if
there.
We can,
maybe we'll start there and end up here.
Record on the train.
And see if we can get a couple seconds with Robert.
What's kidnapping? What's
yeah!
What's mugging?
Throw him in the trunk of my Cadillac? Ooh, that
it
was so
much. He'll wake up at a comic shop.
People in Denver will be wondering what the hell. We'll hold him ransom.
Sweet.
For all
like
the other three.
Junior plan. Oh.
You know what happens though? He's Frank Sinatra.
I enjoy that a lot.
All right, guys. Who wants more Avengers comics?
I don't.
Me do.
Who wants to pay $3.99?
I don't want the ones that are out now.
You guys remember Classic X-Men?
No.
Yes.
You don't remember Classic
X-Men?
I do.
West Coast.
Oh, that's right. John, who's never read an X-Men book in his
exactly
life.
Exactly, since 1968.
See, I'm going to be honest about this story, about them reprinting the Avengers books.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you can steal all of that off the internet for free.
Well,
no one's
going like to
pay $3.99.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that there are some very affordable essentials that,
yeah,
that
I was gonna
cover
say,
this ground
don't,
for a
don't
much
they,
cheaper
don't
price
they
as well.
Don't they already do this?
Well, and the shitty thing is, I'm happy for Oeming, because Oeming and Dwayne McDuffie are going to be writing these very cool backup stories, and I have really wanted Mike to be drawing mainstream Marvel stories for a long time. And it's nice that they're finally giving him the opportunity. But frankly, I don't think this book is a win. I mean, I'm seeing positive responses to it based on the announcement, and I think that's great. But, yeah, I hate to be cynical, but it's like...
That is a high price point for a book.
Yes.
That's
its
reprint.
Main selling point is being a reprint of something you can, if you're internet savvy, can steal, or you have an essential for much cheaper. I think that's... I don't know. I don't want to say X-Men Classic that model is outdated because I loved getting those.
I loved them too, but it's different. The market has changed.
Yeah,
since
it
then.
Has. Yeah. It might be outdated.
When the X-Men Classic or Classic X-Men came out, there were no essentials. There was no way to get comics digitally. Do they even have the Avengers on DVD now? Do they sell that?
They do.
It's in essentials. It's,
oh, really?
It's
yeah,
on,
the
it's on
DVD.
DVD.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, for $40. Bucks.
So I'm for
you can get them
so
all as up much, until the end.
As much as I like Omen,
all through disassembled.
Yeah.
And I do like Omen. He's one of my favorite.
And Dwayne McDuffie's a great writer. Yeah. I mean, that's
I'm
a
I'm not
good
paying
scene.
$4 for a 8-page backup story.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Well. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they'll be. Yeah,
it's
going
to be interesting to see because I think this is going to be. It's going to be a weird reprint attempt because I think really honestly you can't get away anymore with this sort of reprint stuff like you could when you did Classic X.
The only way you can get away with it is if you do something like Civil War Initiative. And don't tell people it's a reprint.
and frankly, that is the other thing, too. I really, yeah, it seems that the more than $3 books that Marvel has put out lately.
Or over half stuff you bought the same week.
Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be worth the amount that
I think maybe they should have, instead of Dwayne McDuffie and Oming, they should have put Bendis and Oming on it, and then at least Bendis' name is on it, and they know they'd sell at least 75,000 copies.
You know we're going to be completely wrong about this, and it will sell 80,000
copies. Yeah, sure, it'll be
copies.
A huge hit, and that's great. More power to Marvel. It's just, you know.
Chumps. Anyway, next story.
All right, yeah, we're on that happy note. Let's move on here. Sal, Shop It Around Comics.
Shop It Around Comics. We have our Cafe Press store. You can buy Around Comics gear if you so choose. We have our Amazon store. You can buy all sorts of stuff. We have the Borders coupon that you can get
click
a 20% off coupon.
Click early, click often,
there
your
you
local Borders. Absolutely. Hotline.
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail, and we'll probably play it on the show.
Just like this.
Eventually.
Joey B. from Canada wanted to say hi to everyone at Around Comics.
Hello.
We feel for your loss up in Canada. Captain America was a great hero. Let us all rest our heads and bow them down for a moment of silence. We will miss you, Stephen Rogers. We'll miss you a lot.
So that is one view of our.
How does he feel about the Guardian being a spoilers? I guess.
Well, yeah, kind of, Guardian is a yeah the guy that killed
the
all
guy that killed all the Canadians.
Well, that's why it's Omega Flight because it's Alpha Flight doesn't exist because of him.
Really, Guardian killed all the other Alpha
well,
Flight.
The new Guardian.
Yeah,
read
Civil War Initiative. $5.99 preview issue.
In the first half, the part that's not books that came out that same week.
thank you. Yes, I avoid all the reprints and
the Mark Silvestri
content in there.
Well, here's another view.
We're obviously Sasquatch likes to turn into his character just for effect.
That was such a 90s moment. I almost
Tom.
What? You don't know who I am? I'm Sasquatch.
What was that 90s comic that you talked about where the guy, like, you know, for no reason?
Oh, it was Extreme Justice, where there was an issue of Extreme Justice where Captain Atom smashed a table for no reason. No reason. Like, they're having a conversation, and all of a sudden there's a panel where Captain Atom, like, punches a hole in the center of a table, and I remember reading it as a kid and being like, why did he get so mad?
It was that exact moment with Sasquatch. It's like, there's no reason
why
for him to be
so
turning
angry?
Into Sasquatch now.
Yeah, why is he so angry right now of all moments?
Because he's talking to the guy, and the guy's just very meek. And it's like, I don't want to, I don't think I can do this. I don't. This yeah, well, maybe this will change your mind.
Shouldn't he have gotten that pissed when he killed all his other teammates? Like 8 months ago? Wouldn't that have been the appropriate time? Laid face
delayed.
Down in the snow. Yeah. Like, God, this is hard.
Damn it, not again.
Well, I'll tell you, here's someone else that's a little pissed and going a little Sasquatch.
Random fan, what the fuck? Marvel?
Over?
Marvel's reason for this reply? Frank Castle as the new Captain America.
That was it? What the fuck, Marvel? Frank Castle's...
He's obviously not happy.
I actually, you know, it's... okay. I will bet anybody $20 that we have not seen the last of Steve Rogers as Captain America. He will be back.
I will take that bet.
I bet you $20.
$20 that there will be an issue where Sasquatch turns into Sasquatch because he doesn't get, like,
he spilled his latte?
Yeah, like, oh, you didn't make this half calf. Oh, I'm Sasquatch from the Canadian Alpha Flight team.
I like the idea of Frank Castle running around as a faux Captain America.
Yeah, I think it's entertaining.
I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I mean,
I don't think anyone else
will actually believe he's Captain America, which makes it funnier, because he's going to run around thinking he's doing Captain America's job, and everyone else is going to be like, what the fuck's up with this guy?
It'll work as Matt Fraction's Punisher, definitely not Garth Ennis's Punisher.
Well, yeah. And also John Walker, I look forward to in Oming's Omega Flight as the U.S. agent kind of saying, you know, did you see in that Daily Bugle supplement that came out this week? They had quotes from the U.S. agent going, well, I certainly wouldn't have gotten shot in the courthouse. And it was such a Joe Frazier line about Muhammad Ali's passing kind of moment. It was great.
Wouldn't have happened to me.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's setting up for a great asshole that looks like Cap that I think will be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, hey, I think it'll be entertaining.
As long as he doesn't get hurt by Sasquatch turning into Sasquatch constantly. Every time something comes up.
This is an extra cheese.
All right, well, here is our last hotline for the week. I want to thank everyone for calling the hotline. Keep them coming, guys. We love to hear them. So here is Chip.
Hello, Round Comics. This is Chip from the forums. I just wanted to call and say that your coverage for the New York Comic Con was really cool, and it's really getting me psyched up for Chicago this summer.
We're not going.
sounds like it was a lot of fun, and I hope to have as much fun or more so than I did last year meeting everybody. It was a really good time. I'm looking forward to it this year. If you guys use this for the Simon Oliver interview, I just wanted to say to Simon that the Exterminators is a really good book. I enjoy it very much. I know that sounds really pat, but you know, I don't know what else to say about it. One question I did have about it, did you know pretty much, you know, what you were doing with Soloth the whole time when you came up with his character? Because on the last episode that you were on, you mentioned that you had done some traveling in that part of the world, and I was wondering, you know, when did that hit you that you were just going to, you know, do that with Soloth. I thought it was a really interesting character twist. It says a lot about him as a person and where he's at now. I thought it was really good, and I can't wait to see where his character is going. So, anyways, that's all I have to say. That's my question. Thanks a lot. Bye.
I saw the deer hunter, and I wanted to mock him. We're not talking to Simon Oliver.
We did. Well, Chris talked to Simon Oliver.
Yes. Sorry, Chip. A little too late. I actually talked to Simon last night, which was Thursday. Sal, we don't have a schedule.
We'll get it out soon. It's magic. The interview will be out soon. But I will answer for Simon because he's not here to answer that question. It hit him when he was on the crapper.
Buy two
night.
Copies of Exterminators.
His watch. But all of a sudden.
He hit his head on the sink, and he thought...
I remember it well, Marty!
Oh, Marty!
Oh!
Yeah, I remember it well, Marty.
Simon was a lot of fun to talk with, so hopefully you guys...
I wish I would have been able to enjoy it. But
we'll have Simon on again.
Chris decided...
Yeah, we'll talk to him again.
Well, if someone had remembered their power cord last week, we all would
have
been
able to talk. You gotta bring that up
at the Crankcast compound.
Come on. Who to us?
We did. All
right.
All because we messed up. That's okay.
Good times,
we fell up that week.
So once again, thanks for the hotline calls this week.
Fuck you,
man. Keep them coming. That'll take care of our mid-show announcements. That means it is time for Top of the Stack. That's right. It's time for Top of the Stack, our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. Snagglepuss, what you got for us?
Snagglepuss.
My pick of the week is finally... I'm going to pick 52. I've wanted to pick this.
You have showed so much restraint.
Finally, I've decided to pick 52. And the reason why is not only because of this issue. This issue, number 45, which features Black Adam heavily, is an incredible payoff to the Black Adam story, but also just, I don't think I've even picked 52 yet, which is funny, because I've loved 52, and it's one of the most consistent reads I've had week to week. And if you want to talk about a story going from point A to point Z and paying off the whole way, this book has been amazing about doing that. And this issue is not an exception to that. As you get closer to the end, they just keep paying off what you've been doing, what you've been reading. Like, I've invested so much time and money into 52, and I'm not disappointed, because I feel like the money I put in, I'm getting a return on it. I'm getting a great story. I'm getting a payoff to this whole Black Adam story. To me, is such a wonderful DC story, because a lot of the criticism often against DC characters is they're sort of these very clean, like, characters who are, Superman's this great character who does what he does out of, like, the goodness of his own heart.
True,
and Black Adam is this sort of, he's this weird sort of Marvelized character who somehow Geoff Johns snuck into the DC universe, where he's this character who, his history is very dark, and he's had horrible things happen. He's had his family killed because of following the wisdom of the gods, you know. And that's also the other beautiful part of the story, is the part of, like, how characters like Captain Marvel and how Black Adam, they get these powers from the gods, but it doesn't keep them from having bad things happen to them. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it doesn't protect them from making mistakes, and it doesn't protect them from having horrible things happen. And I think that's such a great thing to see happen to these characters. You know, like, you won't ever see Superman have his whole family, you know, wiped out.
Right.
You know, that'll never happen, because that's, Superman's not that type of character. But you see Black Adam's character, he's put through the ringer because it's allowed, because he's this character, it's okay to fuck with him.
And then that makes him interesting.
Story,
I mean,
so
it makes
interesting,
yeah.
Because you see him, he's so tragic because he wants so bad to be a good person. But it's like the universe is aligned against him. And every time he gets a chance to redeem himself, it's like this moment where you see this horrible thing happen to him, and you can understand why he acts the way he does. You can understand why Black Adam does what he does, because if it happened to you, you would do the exact same thing.
Yep.
And that's what makes him so unique in the DC universe compared to other characters that maybe have a more altruistic, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, as much as Superman, you know, you know, Clark Kent is very much like us, and Superman is very much like we all sort of wish we could be at times. You know, Black Adam is much more of a closer reflection of who we truly are.
Who we are, and what we would do if we had the power to really strike back.
Very few people have their lives line up like Clark Kent.
And I think it's really interesting that they've kept, you know, the relationship with him and Captain Marvel, where you see the, you know, two sides of it. You know, it's like Marvel, everything seems to go, you know, it's a much cleaner and happier and lighter.
Everything seems to go okay for him.
For Marvel and the Marvel family, and everything seems to go wrong for Black Adam. I have to say, Black Adam has become one of my favorite characters in the DC universe over the last couple of years because of exactly what you're saying. You know, how they've used him and how interesting of a character he became. You know, from the JLA book and
JSA
JSA, what they were doing in that, and how gray his character was, you know.
He's not a bad character because
he's a Namor.
Mm-hmm. Because in that, in the Black Rain storyline, where you have that scene where he liberates that factory filled with kids who are slaves working, and he says to Atom Smasher, "Is this wrong what we're doing?" And that's one of the only times in books, in a comic book, where you're supposed to understand a character being as gray and really reading it and being like, how can you disagree with Black Adam?
Right.
And he says that. Like, how can you disagree with him saying, this is wrong, we're fixing this, and the JSA is weak for not doing this.
For
this
not
is,
doing more.
Yeah.
No, it's a great parable for a lot of what is happening now in the Middle East and in the U.S.'s intervention, and Black Adam is a very tragic character, and the best villains are characters that you can appreciate their motivation and really step back and say, yeah, he's the bad guy, but I understand why, and that makes him even more compelling, and you just feel more empathy for them when they do fail. And no, I think Black Adam is a great character like that, that on days he will be an important ally to the heroes, and on other days he's going to be their worst nightmare.
He's such an amazing character, because when you think about it, in the golden age of Captain Marvel, appeared in exactly one story.
And died at the end of his
story. End of the first story. And people have brought him back because they saw something in Black Adam that was an interesting contrast to Captain Marvel.
For me, I mean, the interesting thing is that, you know, what they've been able to do with that character and what it's made me feel. It's like, I knew from the beginning that it was never going to end well for that character. You know that.
Happy ending for Captain Marvel.
I bought into the whole story of him trying to redeem himself and trying, you know, and it's like, okay, I accepted that, you know, even knowing somewhere that it wasn't going to end that way.
The beauty of this story is that somehow within the course of a year, they've put Osiris and Isis have been characters that you feel like you've known forever.
Mm-hmm.
That you feel like they're such a happy
But you still
part.
Don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Whereas like a character like Superman, you know ultimately how any story is going to end up with Superman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With Black Adam, you're not sure which way it's going to go, even though you kind of do know. But there's still that that element of not...
He's come through at very crucial times and been a hero.
Yeah.
And he has turned on the heroes and been their worst mistake and nightmare. And why did we ever hook up with this guy?
To me, just to finish up the 52-week 45 discussion, to me, when I say that Geoff Johns is one of my favorite writers, one of my examples to me is like what he's done with Black Adam.
No question.
Has been just amazing. How he's introduced this character who's such a great character into a universe that is so easy to...
Isn't that really kind of what made his work with the Rogues so good in Flash? Is that...
Well, you know, sure. You make Captain Cold's a bad guy, but Captain Cold's a bad guy who won't kill people. Or,
right, or Heatwave
is a bad guy, but he's a bad guy because
he's a pyromaniac.
He's a pyromaniac, and this is how he fits into his world.
And
that's what he
and
does.
He's trying to redeem himself. And Jesse James and, you know, the Trickster and...
But he doesn't do it.
He
didn't do it in the same sort of rehashed postmodern way that you saw after, like, you know, Watchmen. After Watchmen came out, you saw so much of that postmodern examination of characters and why they do the things they do. But it became sort of, you know, rehashed, and it wasn't wasn't done very well. Where he does it in a different way, where that he explains these characters. It's not necessarily, you know, putting them under a microscope and saying,
they
do this because they're human?
Well, one of my favorite single issues, and I'll stop talking after this, but one of my favorite single issues is Flash 182, which is the Captain Cold profile, because it's this huge issue about just, like, what a fucked up life Captain Cold had and why he ended up the way he did. And at the end, you feel really bad for him because you realize that he's someone who has, like, real emotions. And, like, he's had everything else in his life destroyed. And he doesn't want to hurt anyone. He just wants more for himself.
Because
he feels he deserves it. You know, and I think Geoff Johns is a great villain writer. I think that maybe...
That's because he's evil.
He's evil. Truly evil on the inside.
No, you know, he's one of the guys leading things for the DC Universe. And I think 52, as you say, Tom, it's paying off with every issue as we go into the last seven. And I congratulate DC because I find it hard to fuck this thing up at this point because as opposed to, you know, these seven chapters really are, you know, it's near enough to the end of the story where I think you can see where things are going. And so far it's just been fantastic, and I expect it to finish.
They feel
nicely.
Like they're going to be more of a payoff than they are going to, you know, any chance of them.
I think so. And I think they're going to live up to the hype that they set in terms of, no, this is a complete story.
It's going
to be at the end. Yeah.
Even though we have Countdown coming,
and
that's
World
a different,
War III
that's
as
a new
well.
Story. That's a new story.
And again, actually, World War III is going to tie into Black Adam's story, so we'll see where it goes. But I have faith in what they've been doing so far, and this was a perfect example.
Yep.
All right. Sal, what's your top of...
Well, I don't know that I can quite illustrate, you know, my feelings like Tom did so eloquently, but...
Your book is fantastic.
I got Hip Flask, Concrete Jungle, the hardcover, volume one, I guess.
Volume two.
Well, it says volume two, but
I have reprints of those, and it's confusing.
It is confusing. I don't know.
This at least puts them in a proper order for you, story wise.
Well, this is the big and the long now, volume one, Concrete Jungle.
But it says volume two.
But it says volume two on the spine, so I'm not sure what the ordering is
reading.
But regardless.
If you have questions about that, go to the trade paperback list on the Millar website.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. They have an excellent...
Millar World?
Yeah, Millar World. They have an excellent trade paperback.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to do that.
Oh, and also Richard Starkings now has a forum at Image Comics.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
So go there and ask him.
If you want to look it up, if you want to look up to make sure you don't buy double of whatever you have, but regardless, go on.
It's by Richard Starkings and Casey and Landron. And this is one of the just most beautiful hardcover collections of a monthly comic.
How much is the hardcover?
It was $30. It's not cheap,
but it looks great.
Oversized,
but
it's
oversized, and I think it was worth every single penny. I hadn't read these issues before. I've been reading the new Elephant Man series that's out. I had never really read Hip Flask before. But after reading Elephant Man and I saw this in Diamond, I knew I had to have it, and I was really glad that I did. Landron's art in it is absolutely fantastic. Tom and I, we were talking about this earlier. He has this sort of style. It's not a super heavy rendered. You know, there's plenty of detail in there, but he leaves enough out of it for your own imagination. Yeah. And there's enough space in all of the work that it really gives you the ability to look further into it. And when it's blown up in an oversized, you know, with this kind of art, you weren't really sure what you would get.
It's like a slightly more detailed on a, like an inch-to-inch basis than Quietly, I think.
Yeah.
Like there's sort of a layout scheme similar to Quietly where he leaves a lot. He lets you look at everything, but I think Ladrin puts a little bit more detail probably on the inch-to-inch basis than I think Quietly does. But I think, I mean, it's absolutely beautiful book to look at.
And, you know, the story, once again, you know, it is about these creatures that have been, you know, genetically engineered to be machines or fighting machines, war machines, and who are now trying to live their lives in a society that doesn't want them. There's a lot of analogies there. There's a lot of, you know, different things you can tie it into, and I'm not going to even attempt to do that. I'll let you do that for yourself. But suffice it to say, it not only is it a beautifully looking book, but the stories are fantastic and can be read over and over again, and you can get a lot out of them by reading them. They're not super dense. I mean, there's not a ton of dialogue in these stories. The plots are simple enough, yet they're not dumbed down in any way. They have no problem. Starkings has no problem dropping you into the middle of a story and letting you figure it out, which is part of the beauty of it. This has become, like I said, from the new series that's come out, I've really gotten turned on to the whole Elephant Men universe, and this has become one of my favorite books on a monthly basis. The hardcover is just absolutely gorgeous, and I highly recommend it. So
that and Exterminators were my two favorite books of 2006.
I bet
in our year-end wrap-up.
I bet that Elephant Men does quite well in the European market, and that oversized collection looks very much like a European album, and I bet that's going to sell really well.
He's flipping through the book, and I'm just looking at a page, and I'm looking at a page like this page right here, where there's a rhinoceros man putting on a suit, and it's amazing because you see stuff, and I don't want to compare this negatively to other artists, but you see something like Moon Knight with
David Finch,
and Finch maybe has a tendency to be over rendering, and he has what I think a lot of people would assume to be detail. But then you look at something in this book, and all of a sudden you see a different type of detail, mm-hmm. which isn't so heavy, and it's almost, it leaves you more room to see what's going on.
It's more, it helps build the world more so. This is a science fiction type of story. It's very heavily, you know, it's very Blade Runner-ish. Yeah.
Did you guys...
And Landron's art in it, like you said, it's not a super heavily rendered style, but there's so much detail in the backgrounds, and it all builds to really creating this universe that is believable and you're immersed in when you're done reading it. That, you know,
the layouts, I think, too, also are an incredible part of it, like how a page is laid out in that book.
And how he paces it from, you know, depending on what story he's telling in it, because there's multiple storylines that are run through this book. But you can tell, you know, you can see where, you know, when you're in the city, say, it's very tightly, you know, packed. the frames, the panels are, you know, have a lot more detail than in some other places where it's wide open and you see, you know, panels that are just...
Well, it's that sparseness that is important to the story at that point.
And he uses it very well. He uses it, you know...
Shows
to,
a lot of
really
isolation
the
through, the,
and
through
and
this, you know,
yeah, absolutely. And
because that's what that book is really about. It's about isolation in the way I look at it. And in a lot of the characters, they are, you know, they are islands unto themselves.
Yeah, well, like I said, I think there's a lot of different things you can draw out of it. And I don't want to get into it too much only because I think that's, you know, part of the beauty of the book is that you can draw what
there's
you want.
There's a lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot going on. And it's not a typical comic book story. I mean, there's a lot of comic books out there that are very similar to other comic books. This one, I don't know of another book that's out that's really anything like
the
it.
The closest thing, and it's been a long time since I read it, was The Techno Priest by Jodorowsky.
Yes, and I'll throw a Chicago creator in there as well. Kurt Mitchell has a book called Oxblood that has a futuristic... There are animals that are bred to be gladiators, and it has that kind of feel
you
to
it
as
well.
You
know what it reminds
me of? Yeah, I agree with the Techno Priest comparison.
It reminds me of... And I described this to my brother, because I think my brother would love this, because when we were kids, we got the first telephone book of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. It was like, what if you got a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles book where you got all the stuff that happened in between the fighting? Like, what was it like to be this thing? And well, let's say they didn't live in the sewer. Let's say you were just like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles above the city and in between the fighting. Because there's
fighting. You know, it's funny, looking at some of this art now, and you mentioned Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
There's some
similarities to that.
It's like quietly and...
Jeff Darrow, too. There's some Jeff Darrow.
Definitely some Darrow in there.
Not nearly as detailed as Darrow's stuff, but certainly there's panels that are like that.
Well, I described it at the end of the year as probably the closest thing I've read to a perfect comic in a long time as far as art
and production.
Art, production, and story.
And story, yeah. But I was just going to point out, too, Richard Starkings, I mean, the comic craft, the guy behind comic craft.
And
I mean, there's
a good product out
there's... The guy knows what
he's
doing.
That was the
one
thing.
The guy knows what he's doing.
Two things on just the quality. I mean, it's $30, but...
Worth every penny.
The quality of the printing of this thing, the cover itself is extremely... This is, you know, a lot of the hard covers that come out aren't quite of this quality. This is more like... it reminded me very much of almost like a children's book. Like a big, oversized kid's book that's super heavy-duty so that, you know, kids can bang it around. Yeah. The paper on it, I actually... When I was reading it, thankfully they numbered all the pages because I kept thinking that I was flipping through three pages because it's so thick. Paper is so thick. I kept literally going, wait a minute.
An 80-pound cover stock.
Don't bend it.
I'm sorry.
Overbiter.
But they it's like a nice medium between your really shiny paper and your sort of vertigo. Like,
yeah, it doesn't have that
it's
over...
It's got the thickness, but it's also got a little bit of the gloss.
It's extreme. It's just a great. I mean, gorgeous, gorgeous hardcover. So.
Well, John,
sir,
did you have something you liked this week?
Why, yes, Tom, I did. Thank you for asking.
Thanks for moving.
Well, let's skip on. Chris,
John, what's
what
your topic?
Like?
You,
oh,
son
sure.
of a bitch. Well, I really enjoyed Punisher War Journal number 5.
How much have
5.
You drank tonight?
I am really pleased with this series. I mean, you know, Matt Fraction is a favorite of this tables, and I know that. So I'm preaching to the choir when I say this. But when I first heard about the Punisher War Journal book, I'm like, I love the Max Punisher series so much, and it's so great. And the Punisher absolutely works in the Marvel universe. But do we need a Punisher book? I'm like.
Is he better off as
Haven't we told enough Punisher stories?
Because my God, the 90s. I mean, after that surge in the 80s, the 90s killed the Punisher with too much Punisher product. I'm happy.
In your face constantly with the Punisher all the time.
Yes.
And everybody.
And quality writers and artists working on the Punisher.
They were teabagging us with the Punisher.
Really, you go in the quarter bins and you go in the old trade bins, and there are. Tons of graphic novels and everything collecting the Punisher. Well, this series is a great series so far, and this one shot. And it's so nice to see another eloquent one shot in this era of multi, you know, issue arcs.
I'm starting to see a trend, and I'm liking it.
Yeah, this was just a great standoff between, and I forget...
Bushwhacker.
Bushwhacker, thank you.
One of my favorite characters from the 90s.
Yeah, and it really put him in this great place. And Ian, this beat
auxiliary
cop... With, yes, this very interesting background. We'll just call him a beat cop.
I picked it out earlier.
It was a very interesting, you know, singular story. Him, you know, in a standoff, and really the Punisher is kind of only gets a cameo at the end of this story, and it helps support, it helps bring out more of Bridge, this character that Matt Fraction has placed in the series. I don't know if Bridge is an old character
GW
or not.
Bridge, yeah. Well, no, he's from the Cable six-pack.
Well, there you go. Yeah. See, I mean, and again, it's the X-World that I am completely ignorant of.
But I think it's also what I really like about Punisher War Journal that's really interesting is that you see this part of the Marvel Universe, I think, gets neglected a bit, and it's framed around the fact that it's a Punisher book. But you don't need the Punisher, because I think, as we were saying, when you had the Punisher glut in the 90s, every single page was about the Punisher and about how badass the Punisher was.
He was
everything
punishing.
Was about the Punisher being in your face constantly.
Yes.
But you can have a Punisher book where you frame a story about the Punisher's universe, but you don't need the Punisher to be stabbing you, like, constantly.
Right.
You don't
blowing you up with a grenade gun.
Well,
you
there
know,
is
yeah.
room for that. There is room for that in the Max universe, but there's also room for a story where the Punisher shows up at the end and he's still it's still his book. But you don't need to have the Punisher.
Well, or the great stories that are where you talk about a character and then he finally enters in the final.
Yeah,
there's one right behind you. I think one that got really looked over by a lot of people. Gotham Central was a Bat Family book.
Where Batman barely was in it.
He'd show up maybe once an issue.
Once an arc. Not at all.
But I consider that very much a Batman. Yeah. You know, family book.
It takes place in that universe.
Yeah,
that character, what that character does influences what happens.
And that
was
a perfect example of we don't need another Batman book, you know, but go ahead.
It's all in the execution. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think you have a certain group of people that say, well, I'm paying for a Punisher book. I want to see the Punisher. And that character specifically, it's like, you know, that was like the Punisher movie. That the most recent one with Thomas Jane. It's like, I thought it was okay, but the biggest problem with it was he didn't kill enough people. You know, and it's like, if you're going to make a movie about the Punisher, shouldn't it be about him punishing criminals? And that, I think, is sort of the same thing why you don't see these kind of stories as much as maybe we would like, is because if you're going to spend $3 on a Punisher book, I want to see the Punisher blowing the shit out of people. With the other thing in mind is that not, you know... With this arc as short as it is, or with this series as short as it's only, what, fifth issue,
yeah.
You can do that, whereas if you had a book that was going on for 25 issues already, and now you're thinking about, well, this, you know, issue number 27 may be the first Punisher book that somebody picks up. If I had never read a Punisher book before, and I pick up issue number 5...
But you know what's funny?
Would I pick up issue number 6?
But you
what
know
would I? You know what I mean?
Well,
I don't know.
It depends what your expectation was, because I understand from a Punisher standpoint, but I will say, and we all know I'm a huge crime fan, this was a great one-issue crime story.
Well, don't get me wrong. I like it a lot.
It was handled really,
really
well.
What I enjoy about what Fraction's done with this book is, since it's escaped the sort of Civil War thing that's going on, issue 4 and issue 5, what I love about it is the fact that a Punisher book in the Marvel Universe is a book about criminals, and it's a book about the Punisher hunting down criminals. So you can either take it from the point of view of being the Punisher is the star and he hunts down B-list criminals, but let's face it, those are the only criminals he's going to be allowed
that'll
to
be
kill.
Able to take care of.
But
yeah.
You know what? Let's twist it around. Let's twist it around and let's say, let's make this book is really a star about your B-list criminals, and then you have the Punisher show up at the end as a part
right.
of it. You know, because that's a framing device. Let's say that, like, who does the Punisher kill? The Punisher kills characters that no one wants to write about, to be honest. You know, like, that's what happens. So what do? You make a story about these characters who it's okay to kill, and then you make them look awesome, and then you have the Punisher show up at the end and blow up what they're doing. And I think it's such a great idea to be like, it is a villain book, because let's face it, a Marvel Universe Punisher book is about the villains, because we've seen every Punisher
story well, that's ever been.
Too, is the level of realism, despite it being a Marvel Universe book, that Fraction is able to put in this series so far. Because that is what I liked about the Ennis Punisher, was its level of realism. And I'm happy to say that, you know, and you put the Marvel Knights tag on there, and it's like, oh, no, you know, we're not kidding around. It's still going to be the Punisher. Well, they're living up to the hype. I mean, they are delivering, and it's absolutely it works. It works on a max level in a different way than the Ennis book, and it really could have been a max book in a lot of ways. There isn't that much. I mean, I guess, you know, in Ennis's stories, he's able to show nudity. He's able to go a little bit further with violence and swear. But outside of that, this is a hardcore book. This is an adult book, and it's an adult depiction of the Punisher in the Marvel Universe. S.H.I.E.L.D. can be there. I mean, that's the thing. He's got access to all the toys without being beholden
to... It's funny. It's so funny, too. That's a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah. No, it's got tons of Fraction humor. It's great. I'm very pleased for Matt, and... I have no doubt that as much as it's going to be Brubaker's year with everything that's going on with Captain America, and I think Matt's right behind him in terms of another great fight for Marvel.
Matt, the Interpol reference might be a bit dated.
Made me laugh.
In about 6 months. Turn off the bright lights. I like that song, but you got to start thinking about the trade, man.
That's true.
Actually, and I bonded over Drew Friedman, so I'm happy.
Hey,
you know?
I got Charlie Barrick off of Netflix.
Attaboy! That's awesome. Dude, I swear to God.
I have no idea. All right, guys, this is turning into...
Because this is a good recommendation for a buy for our listeners as well. Walter Matthau in the 70s made a series of crime films. Matt Fraction and I are huge fans of a lot of them, as is Brubaker and a lot of these other guys. And Charlie Varick is a great example of that.
I got on the back of Criminal.
Chris,
what's your top of the stack?
Charlie
Look
Varick.
Look at Tom moving the chains.
Moving the chains, Tom. First down.
Yeah, but it's sort of like a two-step forward, one-step back thing with you.
Because I always like push it along, and then I draw us back into a conversation. This is how I roll.
About Walter Matthau.
I need you to like make my influence
known. Common knowledge for crying out loud. It's my Walter Matthau imitation.
I've never seen you quite as active. In a show, Tom.
I feel like the last couple shows I haven't exerted my influence.
Enough. You need to get the Tom pimp hand out there strong. All right.
I like it. I need it. You keep that up, Tom. Yeah. I need help on
this. The more you do,
the
less I have to.
All right. Buffy fans and Buffy comic book fans have been waiting for quite a while since the announcement of Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 8. Was it coming to TV? Oh, no. Oh, no, comic fans. It was coming to comic books.
Printed on
good
paper.
Thing.
And it debuted this past week, and I had pretty high expectations. It wasn't expensive. It was $2.99.
And a great-looking book.
Yeah, I had very high expectations on this book, and it, on a scale of 1 to 10, it was a good solid 8. It delivered everything.
Go higher than that, but
it delivered everything that I wanted it to. And was extremely solid continuation of the series and a great intro into what they're going to do in the Season 8. We'll see where they're going to go with stuff, but yeah, I was very happy. First of all, I want to make a special note. The cover by Ju Chen, one of the prettiest comic book covers I've seen in ages.
It looks good. Sarah Michelle Gellar would be very happy to look
they,
as
they
good
could,
as this,
they could sell the original art to this to some rich Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan for buku dollar, because it is an awesome cover.
Seems like a misnomer.
But once again, and John, I know that you're a fan of this, so we can kind of chit-chat about it. It picks up right, not right at the end.
I'm also
seven.
A huge fan, Chris.
Are you a huge fan, Tom?
No, I felt slighted by saying... Hey, John, let's have a conversation.
Sorry, you and I were about to bond over Charlie Varick until you put the brakes on, so now bond with him with Buffy.
Kill Charlie Varick, as it said in Australia.
I'd say it picks up within. Well, I guess since most of the... Now I'm getting geeky. Most of the Buffy TV shows would take like that real break over summer,
right?
And it was all school years, and so I'm assuming that this is about 3 months after the conclusion of season 7.
Oh no, I think you have to continue with the story of Angel in season 5.
Oh, okay,
and which they allude to in the very issue as well when they talk about the various Buffys.
Okay, so after
late in season 5 of Angel, and after Angel encountered Andrew and the army of Slayers that he had under his reign. But I agree with you. It definitely picks up the story, and you'll certainly know where the story is. And you know, and even if you weren't an Angel fan, which I'm sure that everyone who was a Buffy fan was also an Angel fan, so you'll know where you are. The characters are great because it's Joss Whedon writing it. I mean, they're completely consistent. It is the voice. It is the true voice of all the characters.
It's his dialogue.
And I mean, I liked a lot of the Dark Horse project. I was more of a fan of the Tales of the Slayers because I always felt there was. In that typical way, when a comic company has a licensed property, there's sometimes just something missing when they would translate to comic books. It is nice to see that in this case, there's no issue because it is Joss Whedon writing a Buffy story, and that's exactly what everybody wants. And if nobody wants to make the TV movies that these guys all are desperately trying to make, I have no problem with the story continuing in this fashion. And Xander is Xander, Buffy is Buffy, Dawn is Dawn.
Very you know, much the, kind of.
The few,
she's changed a little bit.
With the little
Dawn's grown up.
And a wonderful way to end the first chapter, alluding to who the big bad is for this particular story.
Which we'll say, I think there's a little sleight of hand going on there. I think that the real big bad may not have been revealed. One of the things I do like about the book is that they're going to be able to do things in the comic that they weren't able to do in most of the TV series. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be more bigger budget, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. This would make a great Buffy movie. And it's nice, and you're really they're taking advantage of it. You're getting a very global view of the Buffyverse, I think, in this, if I can mix my metaphors.
Sure, this takes place in England, so they're already, you know, out of California. You know, Sunnydale's
not there anymore. Well, and consistent with Angel, too. I mean, that's the thing. The way things were left in Angel, as far as we knew, Buffy was running an army of Slayers, and... You get a very big vibe.
There's
a
great Shield reference. In
what
this.
Do you mean by Buffy?
Well, I don't mean Jody and Mr. French from Family Affair.
Let's
that.
Go back.
No,
and
it's great.
I fell into a time slip and I understood that.
It's a great continuation of the series, and I think everyone will be pleased. And the great news is, you know, beyond Joss's arc. You got Drew Goddard and Jane Epperson and
Goddard
and also what's his face Jeff Loeb is going to even come on and stuff.
Who?
And issue 6 through 9, some guy named Brian K. Vaughan is going to be right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh, is he doing the immediate follow up?
Issues 6 through 9.
That's cool because I know the first 5 or 6 were going to be.
And
Joss.
I believe that's it's going to be a Faith story.
So, that's cool.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that'll take care of top of the stack. Sal, who are our frappers this week?
Juan Marquez from Chicago, Illinois. He said, love the show. Thank you, Juan. You probably don't talk like that, but...
Probably not.
Come and see us at Dark Tower. Chad Seawald from Fort Wayne, Indiana. He said, greetings from Fort Wayne, a very distant suburb of Chicago.
He'd like to think that.
Well, yeah. Andy... Also from Chicago, Illinois, he said, LT Smash from the faraway land of Skokie.
You can check out all the great things that AroundComics.com has to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions. Would like to let everyone know that we are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find more great podcasts at ComicsPodcast.com.
Just so that you are aware, we post the next week topic on Tuesday. At our forum at AroundComics.com. This Thursday is another installment of Comics 101. Tune in for how you can become famous! Concept to Comic Shops, a special guest from Devil's Due Publishing, Josh Blaylock. You will become a star from listening to this, and if you follow our rules, you will make millions of dollars. Or not.
You might learn how to publish
comics.
Or
you might learn how to become a huge failure. This following week, we'll be talking with the man who killed Captain America, Ed Brubaker.
Bastard.
Yeah, he made a living on killing characters. Boo-hoo.
Just to make you smile.
Yeah, hey, everyone loves it.
And thank you to Borders. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find
novels.
Exactly what you're looking for and discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Save on all your favorite books. Click on the Borders banner at the Around Comics website for a 20% off coupon. Check Borders first. Find a store near you at BordersStores.com or use the Borders store locator at AroundComics.com.
Or call me.
Or call Tom. He'll mail it to you.
I'll just tell you where the new
773. No, I'm joking. Around Comics is proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Sal,
yes.
All of us. John O. Suntris and
Johnny O.
Tom O. Caterpillar.
Yeah, have a good time. Yeah, have a good time.
Shanahan, McDuffie,
Tom O'Shanahan.
And Patrick St. Patrick.
Hey, hello.
Fitzpatrick. That's Patrick Fitzpatrick. And
Everyone have a
Ryan O'Shamber.
A good couple days. We'll be back. I don't know if it's Wednesday with Simon Oliver or Thursday.
Pipe.
With Comics 101, something. We got episodes coming up, but just stay tuned.
Friggin' listen.
Go to the website.
Figure it out. It's not that complicated.
You either listen or you don't.
Yeah. In the meantime,
in between time,
we'll be everywhere in
and around Comics.
1-2-28-5-6.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007. All rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my love alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby, what is going on? Let me, baby, love you one more time.